But I'm being a little paradoxical. I have overstated the case for my not having founded the order all on my own, or single-handed. There is another side of the question, another factor to be taken into account. Though I indeed could found the order only by witnessing the going for refuge of other people, and witness it only because they wanted me to, the 9 men and 3 women whom I ordained on the occasion, whose anniversary we're celebrating today, all went for refuge with a certain understanding of what was meant by going for refuge. That understanding coincided with my own understanding of what was meant by going for refuge, at least to some extent. It coincided with it because, having studied and practiced Buddhism under my guidance, the men and women in question shared my views. In other words, they were not just ordinees, and I was not just their preceptor. They were also my pupils, my disciples, and I was their teacher. And because they were my disciples and went for refuge in the sense that I understood going for refuge, it would, after all, be truer to say that I founded the order with their cooperation than to say that they founded it with mine. Thus, there is another relation in which I stand to the order. Besides that of founder and that of preceptor, and preceptor's preceptor, I stand to it in the relation of teacher, that is, spiritual teacher or teacher of the Dharma. As I just now had occasion to mention, I was the teacher of the first 12 order members, both before and after their ordination, and I have been, and still am, the teacher of the 384 existing order members. By this I do not mean that I have taught all order members personally, or that even in the case of those whom I have taught personally, I have necessarily taught them all they know about the Dharma. Senior order members teach junior order members, both before the latter's ordination and after. Not that the picture is really as simple as that. Which is why, incidentally, at the conclusion of the ordination ceremony, the new order member's formal acceptance of the ordination includes the words, "with loyalty to my teachers." What I mean when I say that I'm the teacher of the order is that the Dharma studied, practiced, and propagated by the order, by order members, is the Dharma as elucidated by me. This is not to say that I have elucidated the Dharma at every single point, only that I have elucidated it in certain fundamental respects. It is not to say that I have finished elucidating the Dharma. There may be more elucidations, there may be many more elucidations to come. Moreover, the fact that the Dharma studied, practiced, and propagated by order members is the Dharma as elucidated by me does not preclude the possibility of an order member elucidating points not elucidated by me, provided this is done in accordance with the spirit of my elucidations. Some order members have, in fact, already started doing this. Others have started elucidating my elucidations. This is the way a tradition, a lineage, begins to develop. The word elucidate is from lucidus, bright, and means throw light on, explain. It suggests the metaphorical bringing of something from obscurity and darkness into the light. It even suggests, we may say, the transferal of something from a place or realm of darkness to a place or realm of light. Thus, to elucidate is also to translate. For the word translate is the past participle of the very word from which we get the word transfer, meaning convey, remove, hand over, thing, etc., from person or place to another. That's a quote from the dictionary. The primary signification of translate is express the word of, word, or express the sense of word, sentence, speech, book, poem, etc., in or into another language. But there is language in the literal sense, the languages of North India, and there is language in the metaphorical sense, the language of art. Translation can therefore be either from one spoken or written tongue in or into another, or from one discipline or set of ideas or culture in or into another. As with translation, so with translator. A translator can express the sense of word, sentence, speech, book, poem, etc., in or into another language, or he or she can express the sense of one discipline or set of ideas or culture in or into the terms of another. In both cases, something is brought from obscurity and darkness into the light. One who is literally a translator brings a word, sentence, speech, book, poem, etc., from the obscurity and darkness of an unknown tongue into the light of one that is known and understood. One who is a translator metaphorically brings a discipline or a set of ideas or a culture from the obscurity and darkness of unfamiliar terms into the light of terms that are familiar. I myself am a translator because I elucidate, that is, elucidate the Dharma. It is because I am a translator in the metaphorical sense that when I visited Italy in 1966, I was so strongly drawn by paintings on the theme of Saint Jerome, especially by those paintings which represented him in his cell or study with an hourglass in front of him, a lion which he had tamed sleeping at his feet, his red cardinal's hat hanging on the wall, a large volume open before him, and a quill pen in his hand. As I wrote in The Journey to Il Convento, a paper I gave in the course of the 4th 3-month preordination course for men held at Il Convento di Santa Croce in Tuscany during the winter of 1984, Saint Jerome is one of the four fathers of the Latin Church. He lived in the latter half of the 4th and the first quarter of the 5th century and was a contemporary of Saint Augustine, another of the fathers of the Latin Church, with whom he had an acrimonious correspondence. When he was already middle-aged, Saint Jerome left Rome and went to live in the Holy Land at Bethlehem, and it is at this stage of his career that he is usually depicted in Christian art. Saint Jerome was, of course, responsible for the production of the Vulgate, the standard Latin version of the Bible, which was in use throughout the Middle Ages, and when represented in his study, he is generally understood to be engaged in this great work. Incidentally, he is represented as a very old man with a long white beard. Somehow this theme, or image, took hold of my mind. Saint Jerome was the wise old man, and as you know, the wise old man is one of Jung's archetypes of the collective unconscious. That he was engaged in the work of translation, especially that of rendering the word of God into ordinary human speech, meant that something hidden in the depths was being brought up to the surface, or brought from darkness into light. Thus, Saint Jerome was the alchemist, another embodiment of the wise old man. His cell study, sometimes depicted as a cave, was the alchemist's laboratory. Indeed, it was the alchemist's limbek, in which the Red King united with the White Queen, or his crucible, in which lead was transmuted into gold. End of quote. Saint Jerome was thus the translator, both literally and metaphorically. In the next paragraph of The Journey to Il Convento, I tried to explain why I had been drawn to the image of Saint Jerome. No doubt I was drawn to the image of Saint Jerome partly because of my personal situation at the time. I was living in the desert. I had left the Rome of collective, official, even establishment, Buddhism, and was seeking to return to the origins of Buddhism in actual life and experience of the Buddha and his immediate disciples. Not only that, I was trying to teach Buddhism in the West, which meant I was trying to communicate the spirit of the Dharma in terms of Western rather than in terms of Eastern culture. I was thus a translator, with all that that implies, in the way of seeking to fathom the uttermost depths of what one is trying to translate, so that one may translate it faithfully, i.e., bring its meaning to the surface, or from darkness into light. Thus I was drawn to the image of St. Jerome, and was able to see that image as an embodiment of the archetype of the wise old man as translator and alchemist, because I had a personal affinity with that image, or because there was something in me that corresponded to that image.